in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher, time and time again. Through the years, you'll find us here. Moving higher.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Markets with Chip Nellinger. Chip is with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, and this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by Dawson Tire and Wheel, your premier tire and wheel provider in North America, helping people grow. Chip, it's been a little bit, man. How you been?
Doing well, Casey. Enjoying the sunshine here finally for 2 weeks. It's been gray and dreary and snowing and sleeting and a little bit of everything. So we finally got sunshine today. We're I think we're 61, 62 degrees. So it's nice to see the sun.
Yeah.
So the groundhog definitely saw a shadow today in central Illinois.
Right on. And didn't see it out here. I think he hasn't seen his shadow for a little while. So it's been very spring-like here for the month of January. And I think today's high is like 63 degrees or something like that. This morning when I went to church, it was 55 degrees. So this is abnormally warm, but no sooner or later, we're going to get that kick in the face like we always get late in February or early March. So, looking forward to that fun time.
Yeah, they say that's coming this coming week for us. We're going to get one day here of sunshine and really warm, and then some wintry stuff coming in the middle of the week. So, we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah. Well, speaking out, not out of the woods yet, man, I tell you, these markets, for all the trade deals that we've had been anticipating here, this China Phase 1 deal and the USMCA deal and the stuff we got done with Japan and kind of heading towards a somewhat of a negotiation with Europe, man, the markets are really getting kicked around by this coronavirus deal, and there's the hogs especially have taken a beating on this. So talk about that a little bit, what you see happening there.
Yeah, it's it definitely affecting financial markets, all our commodity markets. You know, a lot of people are a little bit frustrated and confused by that. You know, on the one hand, you know, there's the argument, well, that, you know, the common flu kills more people in a year in the United States and across the world than this has. But I think a couple things. I think the actions of the Chinese government right now, quarantining, you know, massive cities, can't leave, can't get in or out, and kind of the assumption that they're probably not telling the whole truth on this thing. The information they do let out is bad enough as it is. And so as far as the grain and livestock markets go, there's that fear that, you know, is this going to be the excuse that they need to not follow through with the Phase 1 trade deal? So and then just the uncertainty of how long is it going to be before they get this thing under control? How much is it going to spread? Is it going to affect growth? I mean, it's, you know, you keep 50, 100 million people indoors and not going out to eat the stores, not consuming. You know, it's definitely logical why the stock market fears, you know, the Chinese financial slowdown that maybe could kind of spread across the world. So, you know, a lot of uncertainty, and no market likes uncertainty. And we really have beaten these markets up pretty badly. As you mentioned, the hog market is just getting kicked in the teeth. And, you know, a couple things going there. Number one, fundamentally, we have a big supply of pork, and we've increased the hog herd incessantly for several years, just, you know, an upward trajectory of growth in hogs. So we're putting out big supply. And it's a little frustrating, too, because we have seen some okay export sales on the pork side. And China has been there. It just hasn't been in that big, earth-shattering, big number that the market wants to see. And, you know, they bought a few beans. But, again, we just haven't seen that. The key be turned, I guess, on that big buying program, this Phase 1 trade deal. Now, they are coming out of their New Year's holiday, their Lunar New Year. And so come Monday, they're back in the office. You know, some of it's maybe the market getting a little ahead of itself because this trade deal doesn't really take in a full effect until, I believe, the 14th of February.
Right.
And so the hope is here in these 2 weeks between now and that time, mid-February, that they're going to start issuing some import licenses and, reducing the duties, the tariff import duties. And once you see that, if you see that, I think that'll add some stability to the markets. But, the big fear here for this later this afternoon, I guess probably about 2 hours from about 5 Central, is when the financial markets open and some of the Asian markets open. And there's a big fear now because those financial markets in China have been closed for their holiday, what that's going to mean when they come back. Is there going to be a big crash? Some of the headlines I saw, the Chinese government's kind of banning sales, of stocks domestically. They're throwing a ton, like 20-some billion dollars of liquidity at their financial markets. So it's a real deal. It's a problem. It's not under control yet, and it's likely still going to affect things here. But, the take-home to me is China said all along, even ahead of the Phase 1 trade signing here a month ago, that we're going to buy it. We're going to buy what we need, when we need it, according to what the market dictates. And, if they're waiting to buy things cheaper, they've had a blue light special sale on now. You've got taken $14 out of the hog market in like 7 days. You've taken 60 cents plus out of the bean market in 2 weeks. Cattle are well off their highs. Cotton is way off the highs. So, will they see this as a buying opportunity? If they are going to be following through on the Phase 1 and buying, I would think that they're going to be doing it pretty quickly and use this break as an opportunity to get some coverage made.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, just the way the markets have been, we had that run-up, and now everything's kind of chipped away a little bit. And that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, too, is just the sheer intraday volatility. And some of these swings we're seeing just from inside the day are pretty wide. You'll start out one day where you're might be even in the morning, and then you might be down 5 and rally back up to being even again by the end of the day. So it's just there's some big huge swings that we're seeing there. And again, like you said, if the Chinese are waiting for a good time to go buy, or anybody for that matter, I got to believe that we're setting some options there for guys to come up and buy some exports from us.
Yeah, I would think so as well. And, that volatility, I'd like to see it. I don't like it that it's in a down market here, but you kind of, you're spot on. We've seen a big increase in intraday volatility. That's a good thing. It gives you opportunities. We're not going to stay down here, forever. No matter what it is, I don't care if it's cotton, pork, beef, poultry, corn, beans. The day they buy something from the United States as part of this trade deal, I think it just goes a long way at stabilizing all our commodity markets, all our ag markets, and probably putting a nice bounce in. But it's just, when are we going to see that? I think we're getting closer and closer on that. And this volatility gives you, it gives you opportunities. Even in a down market, we push this thing much more. You're going to be in a position where, on some previous sales that you made, you can probably look at buying some call options for some sort of a snapback or kind of some courage calls. Seasonally, February usually is a pretty good time for corn and beans. Last few years we put nice rallies in February, the first 2 to 3 weeks of February. So I think there's still going to be opportunities in here, but boy, it's just been pretty one-sided. Huge fun selling in everything just because of the risk-off mentality kind of tied to the financial markets and this coronavirus. Particularly the last 2 days, Thursday and Friday of last week, that also coincided with the last 2 days of a month. And a lot of times the funds kind of use those last 2 or 3 days or the first 2 or 3 days of a new month to position on things. And they really were hitting the sell button hard on Thursday and Friday last week.
They were definitely doing that. All right, so let's jump over and take a look at what you see happening now in South America. So there's been a lot of news coming out of South America here of late. They were having some issues with some dryness. Now they got some pretty beneficial rains there, and the Minister of Ag down there actually raised the overall the bushels on corn, and then their soybeans as well. So right now their soybeans are getting close to being harvested, and they're just not planting the second round of corn. So I guess talk about what you see in South America and what you see, any kind of real swing in our markets because of that.
Well, that's the other thing that's been hitting the bean market. If you look at everything, beans of the grain side, beans have been hit the hardest relative. Corn really... Yeah, they hit corn, but corn's only like 12, 13 cents off of the recent highs. Beans are going on 60 cents. And I think that's a big reason is South America. They do have a big crop coming in Brazil. How big, we're not sure. It's probably a record. Some of that's starting to get factored into prices in here. As you mentioned, there's pockets that are a little bit too wet where harvest has been a little bit delayed, especially the northern part of Brazil. Something to watch is if that stays like that, maybe they get their second crop corn planting delayed a little bit. That could maybe start affecting corn. Parts of Argentina have been a little bit dry. They've kind of fought that the whole season. Not super hot. They've got a little bit of rain in some areas. So I'd say if anywhere, maybe Argentina is the most questionable as to their weather situation. But it does look like the reality is that Brazil has a record crop, and maybe by a big amount, and that's definitely hanging over the bean market. But still, I would think that this thing's getting a little overextended to the downside in the case of beans. And with February now at hand, I think, especially if we could stabilize these financial markets and get some confidence that China is going to come back and start buying some U.S. products, I think that'll give us a nice snapback. But with that being said, the window's closing here, and any rally you do see over the next 6 weeks, I think we really have to have our finger on the trigger and have a plan to protect any scale out of, protect any remaining 2019 bushels, and really start getting some stuff protected, sold, hedged in some way, shape, or form on our 2020 corn and bean production. And kind of play defense this year. Just shows you, man, we can raise big crops even in adverse weather, and then all the financial uncertainty, political, this coronavirus. Now they have avian flu. They found that over the weekend. So they've culled like 20-some thousand birds in that area where they found that. They just can't win for losing in China with the disease issues. So, there's just, point being, there is a lot of risk there. It's not just relegated to the markets, the grain markets or the livestock markets themselves. There's all these outside factors that can really play havoc in our markets too.
Yep. There's a, China's got all kinds of disease going on over there right now. You just take a look and see what's happened. It's driving the overall what they want to buy anyway. I guess let's put it that way. I mean, same thing with like the African swine fever thing. I've kind of argued this before on here that, irregardless of what would have happened with any kind of trade deal we had, more than likely, just because of the amount of pigs that they had to cull, they wouldn't have bought up nearly as much soybeans anyway. And so, I mean, of course, China's playing it out that it's because of the trade deal, does have an effect on what they're buying from us, but still, the amount of soybeans they've bought this year compared to other years isn't nearly what it was, just because of what they need, and that's what kind of the point they've made all along in their buying cycles.
Yeah, yeah. And the good news is they've relative to the last 2 years, they recently in the last 90 days they have stepped up their U.S. bean purchases, so we're above the pace that they've been on for the previous 2 years because of this trade deal. Still way, way behind normal. But like you said, the question is out there. How much are they going to buy? When are they going to buy? Is this thing going to slow their growth down? People have compared this back, I believe it was 1993 when the SARS virus was there. similar type thing. This has happened faster and affected more quicker. But if you compare that, they actually increase their buying, right? So there's an argument that, well, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, you're out there in the heart of blizzard country. We're not immune to it here. You know, if you're stuck in your house for even a weekend, right, what do? Well, there's not much to do. You surf the internet a little bit and you eat, right? You know, I do. I eat more and you're bored. And so there is an argument that their consumption could actually increase a little bit. And it's not like it's killing massive amounts of people yet. And so, you know, I think if you take a step back, take a breath and say, okay, what's the reality of this thing? Yeah, there's 1.3 billion people there. They're probably scared. They're probably staying home. It probably is affecting their economy somewhat and their growth, but that doesn't mean they're going to consume any less. And so, you know, hopefully sometime in February, we'll see them come to the table. And I think if they do, like I said, on anything, I don't care what the product is. If it doesn't even have to be ag-related. If they start purchasing stuff that was in this phase one trade deal, it's going to go a long way. It might not stop the stock market from sliding, but boy, it'll go a long way towards putting a bottom in our ag commodity markets and probably a nice bounce on top of that.
Yep. So the other thing that's come out here in the last couple weeks, for all the news that was coming out of Russia and the whole Black Sea area, Ukraine, with all the, you know, we're way off, our supplies are down, we don't have the storage out there we thought we did, and everything else. And lo and behold, they found a massive amount of stuff out there, with wheat and corn both. They've had a record corn crop here that they're just figuring out what they've gotten. And that's actually had a kind of a splash on the market, too, as for what they're throwing out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, and it's a little bit confusing. Obviously, they're, you know, communism, the fall of communism was a long time ago, but it doesn't sound, doesn't seem like they're a lot more efficient than they used to be. So it takes them a while. It's hard to get news out of their accurate production figures. Now, the one thing that's a little weird on the wheat side is their cash wheat prices continue to stay pretty firm. So, and then there was some questions as to, well, yeah, we have these supplies of wheat, especially, but we may not allow them to be exported, right? Because they use a fair amount internally. And so their cash wheat prices are pretty firm, and that's helped keep a little bit of a floor under the wheat market. One of the things that has really hung over the corn market for a long time is the effect of the production that we're seeing in the Black Sea area, Europe, Ukraine, Russia, as well as South America, you know, Argentina, and then the second crop of the corn in Brazil. They've had big crops the last couple of years, and that's really added to the world supply. With all that being said, on the corn side, we're still, for the time being, still the cheapest by far source in the world. And our exports have quietly been better than they have been in a long time, the last 5 or 6 weeks. It's just been overshadowed by this whole coronavirus thing and this washout in the financial markets and spilled over into our commodity markets. So kind of a mixed bag there. We're definitely fighting a big supply in the world of corn and beans both. But, you know, I think on the corn side, at least for several more weeks here, we've, you know, maybe could pick up some business. And let's hope that, you know, some of that's Chinese business. They need corn. We're the cheapest in the world. Why not start picking away at some of it? So that would, I think, give us a nice bounce. But that's why I mentioned earlier, on rallies, you got to be defensive, right? Because it's not just about us, and there's a big supply in the world of everything, beans and corn especially. Wheat's been pretty bullish, but higher prices, you know, wheat's the first to see the effect of higher prices because you grow wheat, you know, what, every 3 months you're harvesting a crop on every continent of the world.
Right.
And a dollar-plus rally is going to bring more acres into production. So it happens quick in wheat. And, you know, we just have to, in my opinion, you have to play defense. And there's tools out there to let you kind of have it both ways, protect the bottom side and still be able to take advantage of a rally. And I just think the next 12 months, you got to be really, really defensive minded.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, Chip. And just all the stuff we laid out here with the way the markets are and the volatility that we're seeing there. Like you said on here a million times, volatility is a good thing because it lets you make some money here and there, or you know, hedge some things back and forth. But a lot of stuff going on, a lot of planning is in effect right now for what the 2020 season is going to look like. So if folks want to reach out to you, ask you some questions about what you got going on or how you can help them, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, best way is just give us a call, 309-550-7213. Perfect time now when the snow's flying to be kind of getting a plan, and everyone's plan is different. No two plans are the same, but it's important to have one and then execute it, and now's the time to be thinking about that right now as these markets are going to give us opportunities. We just got to have a plan to react when they do.
That's right. All right, Chip. Hey, it was good talking with you. I'm Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Be sure to check my podcast out on any platform you can find a podcast at. Also, check me out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Moving Iron LLC, and also check out the Global Ag Network. And special thanks to Dawson, Tire, and Will for sponsoring this podcast. So for Chip Dellinger, I'm Casey Seymour. Let's go move some iron, folks. Out.
Moving Iron. In the 21st century, hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher, time and time again. Through the years, you'll find us here. Moving